gone, but much of Central Florida is dealing with the aftermath, including lots of power outages. This is USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
Starting today, people can carry guns on community college campuses in Texas. The state's campus carry law that allows licensed gun owners to carry concealed handguns on college campuses took effect at four-year schools a year ago, but today the law extends to community colleges. People can't get concealed gun licenses in Texas unless they're at least 21. Private colleges and universities are allowed to ban guns on campus if they want to. Los Angeles will be hosting the Olympics in 2028.
A city that has always been a games changer and will be again in 2028.
LA Mayor Eric Garcetti saying the deal they forged with the International Olympic Committee to take the Summer Games that year was too good to pass up. The deal gives the 2024 Games to Paris. Attorney General Jeff Sessions scheduled to visit Columbus, Ohio today, where he's to visit the Columbus Police Academy and speak about the opioid epidemic. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, can I still take advantage of today's low rates? Is it still a good time to refinance? The answer is yes. Now's a great time to call Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
NATO confirms that two U.S. soldiers suffered some minor injuries today when their Black Hawk helicopter had to make a hard landing in eastern Afghanistan. The soldiers part of the NATO-led Resolute Support mission there. The incident's being blamed on a mechanical issue. Though the Taliban had claimed earlier fighters opened fire on the helicopter, the Taliban claimed it killed everyone on board. But the statement from NATO assures the crew was safely recovered, and those two crew members were taken to a coalition medical facility for treatment of minor injuries. A video of a dancing Tucson police officer goes viral, as we hear from Jason Campadonia.
Storms knocked out power to several intersections over the weekend in the area, and the streetlights were not working. Officer Woodson from the Tucson Police Department decided to have a little fun while directing traffic, and he started dancing. He would shuffle one way to let traffic go in one direction, and then shimmy the other way to let cars go in the opposite direction. The video was posted to the department's Facebook page, and it's been viewed and shared thousands of times.
And New Jersey's embattled Republican Governor Chris Christie is providing a blow-by-blow account of his run-in with a Chicago Cubs fan in Milwaukee over the weekend. The governor called the man a big shot after the man heckled him during the Cubs-Brewers game. During an appearance on CNN last night, Christie said he ended up getting in the fan's face because he said some lousy, awful stuff. And he said public officials are public servants, not public punching bags. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
listening to The Attic. You're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
It's 10:06. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it is 82 degrees, clear skies, very little chance of precipitation today, but the rest of the forecast is simply going to be the same. Chance of showers and thunderstorms. So with that in mind, let me tell you the percentage of that and the temperatures that we're going to come into seeing. Today, sunny, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, upper 80s, chance of rain 20% tonight. Cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Slight chance of thunderstorms. Slight chance of showers. Humid, but lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, the 2nd, partly sunny. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. 40%. It'll be in the upper 80s. On the 3rd, mid-80s. 50% chance of precipitation. Partly sunny and 50% chance on Friday, upper 80s. Saturday, 40% chance, lower 80s. Temperatures in the area, 82 in Raritan, 79 in Lebanon, 83 in Reddington, 81 in Kingwood, 75 in Stockton, 74 in Asbury, 84 in Clinton Township, 82 in Phillipsburg. That's Hunter Chamber Radio weather. We'll be right back with Tech Today in just a moment.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when making personal decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I will focus on topics about technology. Segments will include technology news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook. You can email me or message me there. My email is goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com. Phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410. And to contact me outside of the show, go to bluepantherbiz.com. And I'd love to talk with you about whatever your technological needs are. So let's see what's happening in the world of technology. Lots of interesting things that are happening today. The first one is kind of disturbing. It's kind of like we're a teenager and we've decided that the space is our bedroom. Problem is, the space junk problem is about to get a whole lot gnarlier, is the title of the article. It's by Wired.com. And looking for an author here. Sarah Scholes of Science, published on the 31st of July. It says that for a few months in the fall of 1957, the citizens of Earth could look up to see the first artificial star. It shone as bright as Spica, but moved across the sky at a much faster clip. Lots of people thought they were seeing Sputnik, Russia's antennaed spherical satellite, and the first thing human had flung into orbit. But it wasn't. It was a body of the rocket that bore Sputnik to space. The Earth's first piece of space junk. Space junk is the colloquial name for orbital bits that do nothing useful. Spent rockets, fragments splayed by collision and degradation, old satellites no one cares about anymore. In total, they amount to millions of pieces of debris, many of which are large enough to seriously ding satellites and the International Space Station. And then there's Kessler syndrome, a space sickness in which low Earth orbit is so overpopulated that collisions cascade into more collisions, which create more debris. That causes more collisions that cascade into more collisions. It's all very bad for Sandra Bullock, and it's about to get worse. Thousands and thousands of satellites are set to launch to low Earth orbit before 2025. This is not a new problem, since Sputnik, Russian and non-Russians have already launched thousands of satellites, orbiters, and send youth Game of Thrones, track global climate, and even track you. Nation-states have developed systems to know where they are and where they're going, along with all their leftover launch paraphernalia, but it will get much more complicated when the small sat revolution fully arrives. In the U.S., two government offices share that daunting task, a NASA group and the military's U.S. Strategic Command, known as U.S. Stratcom. If you feel like yelling an acronym, that will automatically make you sound like a sergeant. Keeps track of 24,000 objects, down to about 10 centimeters in size. Some 18,700 of these are publicly listed on SpaceTrack. The rest are the Department of Defense to know, and you will never will find out. Stratcom gets intel from its space surveillance network, a murder of optical and radar instruments that senses space objects. All that data sluices into Uber Bunker Cheyenne Mountain, which processes their streams. Those teams know even more about data is coming as the number of active satellites in orbit grows by at least tenfold by the mid-2020s. So they are working on a new sensor, says the command Brian McGuire, a radar system called the S-band Space Fence. Located in the Kwajalein Atoll in the Marshall Islands, will operate at high microwave frequencies, the S-band part, allowing it to detect smaller objects, microwaves for microsats and microtrash, in other words. In the U.S. and Australia also recently spooled up C-band, even higher frequencies, radar in March of this year, which sees space objects in even finer detail. The military plans to do more of that, share, team up with companies and other countries, and run their own space situational awareness operations, and that's a good thing. Last year, the 18th Space Control Squadron had to deliver 3,995,874 pieces of potentially bad news, conjunction data messages that led satellite owners know that some other sat or sizable junk was threatening theirs. Department of Defense lets NASA sweat the small stuff, though. The space agency formed its Orbital Debris Program office in 1979, and that office is responsible for characterizing objects too small to be tracked by the Air Force, but big enough to cause problems. NASA uses two radar systems operated by MIT's Lincoln Laboratory for more than 1,000 hours a year to understand the population of millimeter to centimeter-sized objects in low Earth orbit. The schedule will likely get busier, along with the number of close encounters. So just how much bigger will the problem get? SpaceX alone plans to send up nearly 12,000 small internet beaming objects over time. OneWeb was designed on some 700 similar satellites. Planet just launched around 100 that take pictures of Earth, entire landmass every day. And those are just the heaviest hitters. Little orbiters, especially the small types, CubeSats and NanoSats, are within reach of research scientists, government agency experiments, smaller companies, and even individual humans. Take the private breakthrough Starshot project, which eventually plans to send diminutive spacecraft to Alpha Centauri star system, really. It just launched six Sprites, the world's smallest satellites, measuring 3.5 centimeters on a side. All of those satellite operators are in charge of making sure they sent up comes back down in a timely way. Big sat operators can just use that last of their fuel to plunge their darlings into the ocean. But many small sats, especially the smallest kinds, don't have propulsion systems to naturally deorbit fast. They have to be in orbit that naturally decays quickly and ellipse, in which atmosphere drag drops them back to Earth fast. Some small sat operators are planning to put propulsion systems aboard. Great, but that poses another problem: explosions. If there's pressurized fuel, there's always the possibility for paroxysms, which means more debris. And problematic, most members of a given small sat constellation have the same exact specs, and so the small same flaws. If one sat's propulsion system has critical personality defects, so too does its identical siblings. When that happens with cars, automakers recall them. When that happens in space, a bunch of satellites can explode, and that's not just true for their movement-making parts. It's also true of satellite batteries, just to ask Samsung. So there you have it, folks. We got space junk out there. It would seem to me that at some point we're going to have a tipping point where it would make sense to actually go up there and clean it up rather than having hundreds of thousands of people trying to track them and all the extra effort to try and figure it out. I don't know when we're going to have that tipping point, but it sounds pretty daunting that you could actually go up there and have a space junk hit, just like we have bird hits when we fly planes. Pretty crazy stuff. We'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a few minutes. You're listening to Tech Today, and we're on HuntingChamber.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterton County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterton Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterton Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Tech Today on WHCR-DB, and we're the voice of business, and in my case, tech business. Well, many of you have heard about Bitcoin, and Bitcoin has been scratching and clawing to try and be a currency that's not been manipulated and not going through its volatility because it's so small in use right now. Karen Blyer of, did the images, but CNET. This is on CNET.com. And it's basically announced that Bitcoin is split into two. So, as with any type of innovation, there's always disagreements as to how it's supposed to go. And Bitcoin will split in two in blockchain feud. Bitcoin Cash is a new strand of the cryptocurrency launching today in a hard fork. A fork meaning that there's a division in its innovation, much like a family tree. It's a fork. Bitcoin is splitting in two. Disagreements about how to operate the cryptocurrency have led to a new strand called Bitcoin Cash, which will break off from the Bitcoin system today. Bitcoin Cash launches Tuesday in what is known as a hard fork from Bitcoin, a virtual currency based on peer-to-peer transactions without any central authority or banks. The new offshoot is a response to the increasingly popular Bitcoin, which is struggling to deal with massive numbers of transactions with its existing underpinning technology. The main Bitcoin currency is adopting a system called SegWit2x, that moves transactions out of the current blockchain, while Bitcoin Cash will use bigger blocks within the blockchain. Only one Bitcoin exchange will support the new cryptocurrency, but some Bitcoin owners will find the stash automatically cloned into both types. It remains to be seen what the schism will do to market values. And that's the danger here, is we don't know how this is all going to get ferreted out. Now, here's, they say history repeats itself. You might not be aware of this, but in history, we've actually had towns and states come up with their own currency. So you think that the United States dollar and the quarter and all that was all standardized amongst our country. But it's not the case. There are places that have actually their own currency. And in fact, there's nothing stopping you right now from creating your own currency, paper currency. Now, anybody going to follow you? That's the real rub, right? And that's the reason I bring that up is that's the history. Are we at a point in the 21st century where the world, if not the nation, can support a virtual currency, a cryptocurrency, so to speak? And the answer to that is I don't know, but I ask you to go and research how past currencies have fared when they've gone up against a national currency. So bear that in mind. If you're going to invest in Bitcoin, you need to understand that there is precedence that is set and could be affecting the way the success of your situation. So go research that information. You'll be very surprised to learn it's fairly recent, if not historical as well. Many of us are going on vacation. And one of the problems that we have when we're on vacation is we don't have a way to decompress, to unplug, so to speak. Reagan Walsh reported yesterday that there's three ways to control your phone addiction on vacation. Part of Work-Life Balance in the Harvard Business Review, it says that here's the good news, Americans. As a whole, we are finally starting to earn more and take more paid time off. According to a study by Project Time Off, American workers took an average of 16.8 vacation days in 2016. That's up 0.6 days from 2015. That's the biggest jump since vacation usage started declining in 2000, the study found. And the amount of vacation time earned in 2016 jumped nearly one full day to 22.6 from the year before. Perhaps we're finally buying into what we've heard studies tell us time and again. Time off makes us better. Better our jobs because we're re-energized. Better with our families because we're less stressed. And better for ourselves because we're healthier, both physically and mentally. Vacation actually has similar positive biological effects as meditation, including a decrease in stress and a boost to our immune functions. According to a study from researchers at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, the University of California, San Francisco, and Harvard Medical School. The problem is, while many of us are using paid time off, we're not using it to our fullest potential. Culture, technology, and poor personal habits encourage us to stay plugged in. So does fear. Fear people won't think we're committed. Fear will be seen as non-critical to the mission. Fear our teammates will let us down. All of this can make taking time off stressful when it should be restorative. If we want to truly disconnect from everyday pressures and reap the positive benefits of holiday, we need to commit to setting three helpful boundaries. Fib on your out-of-office message. Even if you plan to occasionally check in, tell people you will have limited email access and to expect a reply on or shortly after you return. I had one client embarking on her first vacation in years, but going off the grid completely wasn't an option. She told me she was planning to check her email only twice a day. Telling people she was reachable, however, would only invite them to contact her and to expect a reply. So she made sure her out-of-office let everyone know she'd have limited email access and when to expect a response. With this in mind, she set up a schedule for herself. After some encouragement, she decided to check her email once midweek and once at the end of her vacation. This allowed her to respond to urgent messages but still feel comfortable leaving the others for her return. Her out-of-office gave her the freedom to choose how and when she'd respond while on vacation. If done right, it can do the same for you. Number two, designate a concealed place for your technology. One of my client's fears directly related to the email notification she could see on her phone. Reminders of all those tasks and to-dos she was missing out work. But if she didn't have her phone at all, that wouldn't be a problem. After all, there are countless camps and retreats popping around the country with great success, offering the possibility of screen-free getaway. They require attendees turn over all digital devices when they arrive, allowing for a more meaningful, in-the-moment experience. Maybe you don't need or don't want your device taken from you, but a similar result might be achieved if you find a designated space, like a hotel safe, to store it. Keep it out of sight so you aren't quite as inclined to reach for it, and then set up and keep to a schedule when you'll check in. Perhaps you'll find yourself establishing a healthier tech body balance. And finally, number three, ask your direct reports for a recap. It can be a challenge and a bit of a rude awakening to return from vacation and get a handle on all you've missed. Maybe that's why, according to research published in the journal Applied Research in Quality of Life, we tend to experience more happiness before our trip rather than after. Simply reading through and responding to each individual email received in your absence could take hours, even days, and presents a threat to some needed prioritization. You can combat this post-holiday blues by first focusing on the need-to-know information. Ask your direct reports to send you a briefing the day before you return with a bulleted list, including the most important info gathered while you were gone. Their progress on assigned projects, new or urgent requests from clients, their recaps not only arm you with the intelligence you need as you transition back into your routine, but let you, your team, know you trust them to manage and execute while you're away. You can focus first on these recaps, knowing it's what your team wants you to do now. These three simple barriers make the transition to, through, and from vacation a bit more manageable for those who struggle to truly embrace their paid time off. There you go. I personally, I don't do it that way. I feel that there's too much stress to completely get away from it all. But I also empower everybody that works with me to take on most of the roles. It's my desire that they actually work in my behalf. And I will back them up because they made the best decisions they could in the spirit in which I would. However, I still ask them to keep me informed. And that gives me great pleasure to know that things are still humming along and there's no real crisis. I would feel terrible if I had the answer to a question and people were scurrying about without the answer and couldn't get it. So I still look at it as fact that I've changed my venue, and I will do things that are more relaxing to me, but I will not give up my technology. And that's not a demand. It's a choice, and I've made it, and I understand it. But there are times when I will definitely forget about picking up that phone, and I'll go and grab it the next morning and work on whatever I need to work on. So it's a personal decision, and I invite you to try and figure out what works for you. We're going to take another quick break. You're listening to Tech Today. We're on HuntingChamber.com, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He does not have a role at this time in the Trump administration.
Just over a week on the job, and Anthony Scaramucci is no longer the White House Communications Director. Correspondent Terry Moore reports from Washington. He did get off to kind of a rough start,
including a profanity-laced tirade against now former Chief of Staff Reince Priebus and Senior Advisor Steve Bannon in a recent magazine interview.
The president certainly felt that Anthony's comments were inappropriate.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders suggested Scaramucci left on his own after the appointment of retired General and now former Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly as new Chief of Staff.
Two anonymous U.S. officials are saying that their assessment is North Korea now has missiles that could possibly target much of the continental United States. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty, because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer. Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places, and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Men's Liberty has made both mine and my husband's life easier.
As a urological surgeon, I highly recommend Men's Liberty. It's simply the best option available, and I've seen how it changes lives.
Men's Liberty is covered by Medicare and most major health insurance plans. Say goodbye to painful catheters, expensive diapers, and embarrassing accidents, odors, or infections. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. Call 888-827-7549. That's 888-827-7549.
888-827-7549. This is Tech Today, and we're on HuntingChamberRadio.com. So we just got through talking about vacation and how people are dependent on technology. What's really interesting is that as the smartphone evolved and evolved quickly, we decided that anything except using the physical phone as a phone call, that took a back seat. And so here's an interesting courageous experiment by Alan Gannett on fastcompany.com, in which for 1 week on every email Alan received, the CEO wrote, "Call me." And there's so the title of this is, "What happened when I replied 'call me' to every email I got for a week?" Posted on the 1st by WorkSmart. The subtitle is, "After forcing himself to become more phone prone, this CEO finds that empathy sometimes equals efficiency." The sound of descending chimes, funky MIDI elevator music. Ugh, why is my phone ringing? Can't they just text? Like many people, the phone is a tool of last resort. I'd rather text or Slack or email or carrier pigeon, but I've noticed that many of the most successful, productive people I've met are what you might call phone prone. If you send them a text, they call you instead of texting back. Email them, get a call back. Maybe this wasn't a coincidence. I decided it was time to test my beliefs. But first I decided to email two phone prone people, Krista Smith, the West Coast editor of Vanity Fair, and Eric Kuhn, a former LA talent agent and the co-founder of Layer 3 TV, for more advice. Within minutes, I got an email back, "Call me." Quote, "I think it's about intonation and that so much is confused in email about what somebody's implying," Smith pointed out, a factor that both agreed helps general empathy. Kuhn told me, "It's much more real and civilized conversation on the phone because you're able to express emotion and hear the person's voice and understand what's happening." Fair enough, but both Smith and Kuhn assured me that these more human interactions would also make things faster. So at their encouraging, I devised a really simple plan. First, whenever someone emailed or texted me, I would suggest we jump on a call. Second, I kept a running call list of all the people I need to get in touch with over the course of my work week. Whenever I had a few minutes, I'd call the next person on it. Here's how things went. The upsides. In that week, I had fulfilling conversations that wouldn't have been possible through typing alone. I helped one of my customers solve a thorny issue and ended up reassuring them about some of his career worries. I never have heard the stress in his voice by emailing. In another case, I caught up with CEO friend, and after answering her main question, we went back and forth on other things, including a thoughtful conversation about her business model. What I found was that particularly for more nuanced discussions, the phone saved me time because neither of us had to be overly verbose to give context. Simply hearing somebody's tone, as Smith had pointed out, made it easier to understand where someone stood and react accordingly. Quicker access to empathy really did lead to more efficiency. The downsides. There were obvious drawbacks too, though. In addition to having to use actual emotions instead of emojis, I would often miss people when I tried to reach them. Phone tag time can add up, for then again, you have to wait for the other person to respond in any form asynchronous communication. In fact, I found that I would often get calls back sooner than responses to emails. I think this is partly just because we're all deluged in emails, but non-spam phone calls are increasingly rare. So the less people use the phone for ordinary work relation and conversations, the more useful it may even become. So while I may place more calls over the course of a week that actually led to live phone conversations, the dozen or so that I did have not saved me time, but also gave me a better sense of purpose and humanity. That doesn't sound like a productive booster, but in retrospect, it was. I was able to help people more often and more quickly. In a way, I couldn't through sterile emails. And in the cases of talking to customers, calling helped me build better relationships with my business. What I'm sticking with, my call list isn't going anywhere. I've been able to turn walks to work and Ubers to meetings into productive time. This had a secondary benefit that my future self will be grateful for. I was no longer looking down at my phone, straining my neck. In fact, I've now absorbed my call list into my to-do list, alongside reminders to send out proposals and organize internal meetings. I have notes on whom to call, what the call is about, and how we got connected in the first place. Call Jim about career advice, introduced via LinkedIn. This helps me break out the just defaulting to email and remember all the other modes of communication I might be forgetting. The phone may not be the newest collaborative tool out there, but I was surprised at how effective I found it after a week of forcing myself to become more phone prone. Sure, I wouldn't express myself using virtual smiley faces that way, but I was able to be more authentic, which doesn't just lead to better relationships, but can help you tap into them more productively too. What's funny and curious, and it seems like Alan has coincidentally or intentionally tapped into it, is the way you make a impression on people is by going against the grain. I recall Vicki Lynn Morgan and some other coaches suggesting that when you're sending a thank you note or a note after you've met somebody at a meeting or at a show, that you send a handwritten note. In today's lifestyle, a handwritten note is so obscure that it makes a bigger impression, where everybody else would just take the time to quickly jot down an email. By going the extra mile and doing a stamp and a handwritten letter, you make a different impression. It appears to me that Alan has stumbled upon the same thing. We're so used to falling on the written word at this point with email and texting and Skype and all that, that perhaps a phone call nowadays is maverick and people will accept that as a breath of fresh air compared to the day in, day out trials and tribulations of using the written word. Now, what Alan left out here, which concerns me personally and professionally, is that even if you have these phone conversations, you somehow have to have a documentation of notes of what the conversation was. With email, it's pretty easy to see the whole chain, the email chain, and everything is written down, so it's written word. With phone calls, it may be productive, but somehow you have to get that written word down somewhere. So I have a little rule of my own. What I'll do is I will answer questions and do short answers via texting and email. But if there's, if I notice that there's complications, if I notice if there's confusion, or if I really don't want something to be written down, I'll use the phone. So I would suggest that. My rule is if there's three back and forths, if I email somebody, they email me back a question, and I email them back a response, and we haven't solved the problem, it's time to pick up the phone after that. If I have to speak to somebody privately and I don't want that documented, then I will do that. I will not email or text. So there you have it. Those are my rules. I don't know what Alan feels about all that. But it's an interesting perspective, and I invite you to try it. Be a maverick. Do something different. Stand out from the crowd. Stop being a going with the group. We're at another commercial break. You're listening to Tech Today, and we're on HuntingChamber.com, the voice of business.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to Tech Today. We're on HuntingChamberRadio.com, WHCRDB, the voice of business. Well, let's see what else we got. Lots of great things here. Microsoft new Surface Plus program. lets you upgrade devices after 18 months. A lot of the device companies realize that we are always clamoring for the next device. And so The Verge reports, and the article author is Tom Warren, on August 1st, says to us, Microsoft is launching a new Surface Plus program in the U.S. today, helping spread the cost of new devices over 2 years. Surface Plus acts like a cell phone contract with a 24-month payment plan at 0% APR for the first 2 years and 19.99% thereafter. Microsoft is also allowing Surface Plus customers to upgrade their devices after 18 months, providing the existing devices returned and in good condition. The Surface Plus program will also include dedicated device service and support through Microsoft's retail stores, alongside a year of free in-store support and technical assistance. Microsoft is also launching a business version of Surface Plus that allows businesses to have a mix of devices and even the 55-inch Surface Hub. The business version also includes flexibility on the length of contracts with the ability to choose between 18, 24, or 30-month periods. Businesses will be able to upgrade devices after 12 months on a 24-month term or after 18 months on the longer 30-month period. Both Surface Plus programs launch today in the U.S. at 12 noon. That's very interesting. I might have to look into that. The Surface Pro is a fabulous computer, tablet style, and might be a good deal. I don't know. We'll have to see how that works out in terms of costs. I still debate. I'm in the market for a tablet very soon, and I've been using Samsung for years, and I really like it. Samsung's tablet is very useful to me. Getting a little slow, though. It's running out of memory, and I'm going to have to do some type of an upgrade soon. And the Microsoft Surface was intriguing to me. So I might have to look into that and see whether that's going to be something that we can get around at this point. I'll have to check that out. Moving on from there, let's see what else we got. Microsoft, still in the news, and Yahoo Finance says they want to bring broadband to rural Americans. Rob Pegoraro of Yahoo Finance reported on the 27th. Now, this isn't the first time we've heard this, first time we've heard about it from Microsoft's perspective, but we've heard about Google and Verizon and AT&T. All of them want to somehow tap into the rural America and get them faster speeds, because getting them faster speeds means they will buy better, bigger products, faster products like a Surface Pro. So old, unused TV signals could soon become the rural broadband of the future. But the TV stations of today have some qualms about the idea. People have been making claims that like this for white spaces connectivity since the early 2000s. But this time around, it's Microsoft that's putting its money and influence behind the effort. And nearly 9 years after Federal Communications Commission approved the concept, that company and other white space advocates can finally start pointing to real-world results. The notion that FCC began studying in 2000 goes like this. Since broadcasters don't use all of the available television airwaves, and since that spectrum expanded by a recent FCC auction reaches long distances, let's allow internet providers to use them. That could deliver downloads of 10 megabits per second or faster, up to 10 miles, than a transmitter, or have the deployment cost of LTE wireless. But because those openings aren't uniform nationwide, the FCC couldn't simply offer one block of spectrum. Instead, it's had to create a database for white space devices to verify they're limiting themselves to vacant airwaves. After testing this concept for more than a decade in the U.S. and abroad, Microsoft wants to take it nationwide. In a July 10th report and a July 11th speech by President and Chief Legal Officer Brad Smith, the company outlined how white spaces technology can bring broadband to 80% of the 23.4 million rural Americans lacking it in July 4th, 2022. To get there, Microsoft will invest in white spaces providers. offer free licensing of 39 patents covering the technology, and support digital skills training from the Nation 4-H Council and other groups. As for the remaining 20% of unconnected rural Americans, Microsoft thinks satellite, historically plagued by data caps, suffices for more isolated users, while denser populations merit fiber optic and fixed wireless connections. Microsoft Plus puts this vision's capital and initial operating cost at $8 to $12 billion. Although its share will be considerably less, it estimates that its direct investment will bring white space broadband to 2 million people in 2022. That still amounts to a significant white space endorsement from a big company, something the technology has lacked. We're now at a point where things have gelled, said Harold Feld, a senior vice president in the tech policy group Public Knowledge, who backs white space as the duct tape of rural broadband, that can patch gaps in coverage. What you need is something to jumpstart it. For in-the-ground proof of this potential, Microsoft points to the test it's backed in Charlotte and Halifax counties in southern Virginia. In that rural area, where Open Signal's crowdsourced coverage map shows spotty LTE, even along major roads, Microsoft and partner Mid-Atlantic Broadband Communities Corporation have brought broadband with speeds that are faster than DSL to over 130 households, with faster and more widespread access expected this year. Still, the speeds are below cable internet rates. Mid-Atlantic Broadband CEO Tad DeRiso said those users, whose options before amounted to satellite, dial-up, or nothing, had downloads of right around 5 megabits per second, from as far away as 4.5 miles. Uploads are slower, as happens with most wire broadband outside fiber. DeRiso said that ongoing channel bonding tweaks should get more speeds as high as 15 to 25 per second. That top number is considered true broadband, according to the FCC. Mid-Atlantic Broadband did get help from public investment in broadband. 12 of 16 transmitter sites are at schools with fiber optic links. DeRiso said the technology has lived up to advanced billing in keeping broadband out of the way of TV broadcasts. Unlike a test the MBCC, another vendor, had a few years ago. So there you have it. Broadband might be making it in about 4 years. That would be great to see for about 2 million people. Well, it's time for me to get on out of here. Thank you for listening to Tech Today. Do not fear technology. I'd like you to use it, understand it, and embrace it. And if possible, give me a call. I'll be happy to help you with it. You've been listening to Tech Today, and hopefully we've imparted our mission onto you. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for a rewind, and La Salud Mental Importa is on at noon, along with Front Lines of Freedom at 1 o'clock.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
For a person
Hunterdon
in that
Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Comments were inappropriate for a person in that position.
Scaramucci's departure confirmed by the White House hours after John Kelly was sworn in yesterday morning as the new White House Chief of Staff. The U.S. Senate could confirm Christopher Wray as FBI director within the next couple of weeks. Wray does not face any major obstacles after his confirmation hearing. He would replace FBI Director James Comey. Wray himself, a former top Justice Department official. This is USA Radio News.
After a rough day on the range, a feller can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu.